You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Toronto Blue Jays with MLB.com's Blue Jays beat reporter, Gregor Chisholm. Gregor, in a spring of just one hit after another, it seems like one of the most important guys is finally headed the right direction. What's the status of Edwin Encarnacion, and is he looking like he might be able to be there for opening day?
Yeah, it does, and that's one of the most important developments of camp so far, is that, you know, after a spring of injuries, there's finally some good news on this front, and it's happening right at the right time. Encarnacion got into a minor league game this week, looked pretty good at the plate. With an extra base hit, probably could have been a triple even, but he decided to kind of lay up for a double because he didn't want to push things too much. But, that's a really encouraging sign, and it's going to remain to be seen how much he's going to be able to play at first base compared to DH. They're going to have to keep an eye on that probably for most of the year. But the fact that he's in the box right now, facing live hitting, and still has, almost 2 weeks to get ready for the season, is a really strong sign for this team, because he's obviously a really big part of that lineup.
What kind of worry is it, and what kind of challenge is it making sure that he gets the at-bats he needs without pushing too hard and risking some sort of relapse?
Yeah, and he's someone who he talks about timing at the plate even more so than most hitters, and it's important to every guy, but he's someone who, last season, he struggled for it throughout the month of April. He had a really slow start and then came on like fire in May and really kind of turned things around. And all of that goes back to his timing and feel in the box. So he's going to need to get those at-bats. I think they're still going to give him, the occasional day off. They're not going to throw him out there every day this spring just so he doesn't, do anything to hurt that back again. I think they're going to keep him away from the field just for a little bit. But he says he usually needs probably another 30 at-bats to get ready for the season. He might not quite get to that number over the next week and a half, but he should be able to get up, closer to 20 if he gets in a decent number of games here over the next little stretch. So he should be okay, but it's probably going to be something to monitor even during that first week or two of the season to see just how he's looking at the plate.
Another key guy who the news seems to be encouraging is Michael Saunders. We've talked about him some and how well that's gone. What's his timetable looking like right now?
Opening day, still a bit of a question mark, but if he's not ready for opening day, it really seems like he'll be ready for the home opener a week later, which is a really encouraging sign. I mean, this is someone earlier in the spring we were talking about wouldn't be back until the All-Star break. Obviously, with the procedure he had to remove some of the meniscus instead of repairing it, he's able to come back a lot quicker. But a big thing for him is also seeing that repetition at the plate. I mean, he's someone now who's been able to play in minor league games for about a week, and he's not running. He's only hitting, so if he hits a double, he's still walking back to the dugout afterwards. He hit a home run earlier this week and watched it sail over the fence and then just walk back to the dugout right afterwards. So they're not taking any risks with him in the field or on the base pass, but those are type of things that will come along pretty quickly. The things that takes an awful lot longer for him is obviously seeing that live pitch and getting his timing down at the plate, and at least he's able to do that before he gets clearance to kind of up the other baseball activities.
What is the confidence level that once he's back, he'll be the guy they expected they were getting?
I think there's a lot of confidence there, and he's really a big part of this lineup because he's probably going to hit number six. He's something the Blue Jays don't have a lot of, which is some power from the left side. I mean, everybody knows what they've got from the right side with Donaldson and Encarnacion and Batista, Russell Martin, guys like that. Saunders gives them a bit of a different look out there. And, he's someone who I've always kind of thought was a little bit of an underrated ball player as well in Seattle. And he had a little bit of trouble last year staying healthy. But the hope is he's going to be able to put that behind him early on in the season and provide the Blue Jays with some production that they're really going to need, because after losing Melky Cabrera last year, they needed a guy to come in and replace that. Everyone within the organization kind of thinks he's a bit of an underrated piece for this lineup.
The second base situation is really interesting because there's been some bad injury news, but in the wake of that, some guys have stepped up. I mean, it seems like maybe this is not as bad a situation as they might have feared.
Yeah, and that's something this organization really look at the last couple of years, this is a team that's always dealt with injuries, but they haven't necessarily had the depth to overcome that. This year, I think you're seeing a little bit of a different story. You know, when you had Stroman go down, you're able to replace him with Aaron Sanchez. At second base, you had Meister Asturias go down. He looked like the front runner. You had Ramon Santiago go down with a broken collarbone. He initially looked like he was going to be the backup infielder. But what it's done is it's really given Devin Travis an opportunity to shine. And I think a lot of people originally thought that it was going to be, you know, 2-3 months maybe before the Blue Jays realistically gave him a shot at the big league level. So he came in kind of camp under the radar. But, you know, now after these injuries, he's really kind of looking like the favorite in that race. And he's done it with his play. You can only read so much in his spring training stats. But he's been everything that was advertised coming over from Detroit. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Blue Jays kind of push his timeline up a little bit and give him a chance on opening day.
At the closer spot, it became pretty clear what was going to happen there. But Brett Cecil has officially been named the guy. How do you think that's going to work out? And is there any concern about his health? He's dealt with some stuff.
Yeah, there was concern, I think, for the most part, kind of similar to Encarnacion and Saunders. He's rounding into form at the right time. He's not going to have a lot of innings under his belt. He may not be able to pitch on back-to-back days before the start of the regular season, which is going to be a little bit of a concern. He just may run out of time before he can do that. But he's back throwing. He's been in a couple minor league games right now. Should be able to get into some big league games within the next week, which should put him on pace to start the season without any kind of complications. And really, he was kind of the obvious choice. I think there was an initial uncertainty, I guess, because of Aaron Sanchez's role, but to me, he was kind of the clear-cut candidate all along. He's the most veteran guy down there. He does have a handful of saves throughout his career. He was a closer in college. To me, it makes sense to have him down there while keeping, you know, the right side with Steve Delabar, Miguel Castro, guys like that. Those are the arms that you're going to need in middle relief because they don't have a lot of depth on there, so they really need to maximize those innings. I think Cecil gives you a little bit more of a proven shot and kind of lengthens out that bullpen a little bit.
What's plan B if there is a setback, if he's not ready as quickly as possible, or even if just there are days when early in the season he's not available?
It's going to be a problem because the depth is the issue there. I mean, probably Aaron Loop would maybe be a backup guy. A lot of people really want to see, a lot of the fan base really wants to see Miguel Castro get a shot, but to me it's just way too early for that. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 20 years old, never pitched above Class A, and while he's looked absolutely, you know, untouchable this spring with upper 90s velocity and a really, really nasty changeup, you don't know how he's going to react after he fails, and that's something we're not going to be able to see until the first few weeks of the season and how he deals with that adversity. I think it'd be better to kind of have him deal with that in a setup role, middle relief kind of role, as opposed to being the guy out there in the ninth inning, potentially risking blowing a game and then seeing what it does to his confidence. I'd bring him along a little bit slower, and he's going to get some high leverage innings, but I wouldn't give it to him in the ninth.
All right, well, Gregor Chisholm, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.